My name is James Strong, joined once again by my co-host, Cody Tanner. Cody, how are you this fine Saturday afternoon?
Oh, James, I'm doing all right. Weather's got me down a little bit. You can probably hear it in my throat a little bit. Been sick for about a week now, but doing all right. Taking it day by day. Drinking some cough syrup and all the fun things. James, how are you doing?
Doing all right, man. Got to catch up with an old buddy, Tim Sanda, from way back in the day of high school. Had a little lunch together and caught up on each other's lives today.
Nice. Very nice. We obviously have a few things to talk draft as far as visits that happened. Steelers did sign a free agent, and then we'll go into my mock draft. James, what are we doing? How are Steelers doing with these visits so far with these college prospects?
At this stage, I want to say they've reported about 28 of the top 30 visits. Now, one thing to keep in mind, anytime somebody from the University of Pittsburgh goes in for a top 30 visit, it doesn't count. Also, anyone from West Virginia, those don't count. They're all considered local visits. Anyone that went to high school in Pittsburgh and went to college out of town. So you get a few of those guys here and there that also end up not counting. So sometimes you hear some names and you're like, oh, that's one more on the list. Well, it is and it isn't, because you get some bonus ones if any of those guys are any good. So a little bit of that going on for sure. A lot of nickel corners coming in. So in the last week or so, we had Andrew Phillips come in, Daquan Hardy, who was the nickel corner out of Penn State last year, also a guy that got a chance to return some kicks and brought him back for touchdowns while doing so, just saying. Max Melton, might sound familiar, his brother Bo's in the NFL already, came out a couple years ago. And then Mike Sammerstill, which if you're listening to last week's episode, you heard me mock draft Mike Sammerstill to the Pittsburgh Steelers, thought of by most as the top nickel corner in this upcoming draft class. But one thing in common with all these guys, not a single one of them is a 4.50 or slower. They're all in the 4.4s. They're also all in that like 5.9 to 5.11 range. None of them are 6 foot or greater, but most also under 200 pounds. So highly athletic nickel corners. Could be a change in what we're used to at Pittsburgh here. I'm all for it, man. Let me get a really, really fast nickel corner instead of a guy that's just good against the run and not that good in coverage.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine a corner playing nickel corner, getting some actual, you know, picks and making some playmaking ability on the field and covering these tight ends and running backs. That would be very, very, very exciting.
We loved Mike Hilton because he sacked the quarterback.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with covering a wide receiver, you know?
Yep. speaking of playmakers, Steelers did sign kicker Matthew Wright. Yay.
For the fourth time now.
Yeah, fourth time. We just keep bringing him back. It's just a practice squad body. It's just somebody to have there in case of injury. I'll tell you what,
as far as like camp kickers and a backup kicker to a kicker who probably should be a 5 or 6 time Pro Bowler at this point, you can't really do much better.
Nope.
Matthew Wright's a really solid kicker. And if the crap ever hits the fan and you have to rely on Matthew Wright, you're okay. He's to the point now, like when he first signed with Pittsburgh the very first time, 50 yards was his max. Last year, he made a 59 yarder. Like, he's not the same kid he was when he came out. He's getting a little stronger every year. He's very accurate as far as a kicker. If Pittsburgh didn't have Chris Boswell, I think Matthew Wright would be the guy that they would be trying to sign long-term. So I'm all for keeping a guy like him in camp every year, paying him, even put him on the practice squad for all I care, just so you have a high-end backup kicker on your practice squad. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Pittsburgh had three visits yesterday, correct?
Yesterday or the day before. Very recent on these. It was reported either Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. One of them being Ladd McConkey, who is one of the best route runners arguably the best route runner in the draft class at the wide receiver position. Very quick, very fast. Also, Zach Frazier, West Virginia center, who does not count as an official visit since he's from West Virginia. We just talked about that. And Cooper DeJean. Cooper DeJean is a guy that James has been high on since last year, talking about him before I ever knew who he was, and then made his name very aware for me. So all three of those guys come to visit. Very interesting. Obviously, two offensive, one defensive. Again, a wide receiver playmaker. When we got rid of Deontay, they want to bring somebody else in. They're trying to do it through either free agency or trading. If that doesn't work, we got to draft somebody. Zach Frazier, instant starter if he gets drafted on the team, 100%. I think we all agree with that. And then Cooper DeJean, same thing. I mean, Cooper DeJean's playing week one if he gets drafted.
Yeah. All three of these guys, right?
Yeah.
If you draft Ladd McConkey, is starting at wide out opposite George Pickens, Zach Frazier, your center day one. Cooper DeJean, worst case scenario, is you're starting nickel day one and then takes over as the other outside corner opposite Joey Porter Jr. as the season goes along. I wouldn't be surprised. He's the dream pick for me, man. I've made it as crystal clear as possible. I know I didn't take him in my own mind. It's just because I was trying to hit as many needs as possible, and it seems like if you do that, it makes it a lot more difficult to hit your center and tackle needs.
Yep.
But Cooper DeJean is just that guy that's a dream come true, where you could immediately start him at nickel and he'd be probably the best nickel corner in the league immediately, would be really stout against the run. And with that 4.43 40 time that he just clocked a few days ago, plenty of speed to keep with those deep guys. Also a 38.5-inch vert. Literally the only thing I don't like about this guy is arm length, because it's not quite 32 inches.
Yeah.
He's like 31.5 or something. So his arms are a hair short. They're not tragically short. He'll be fine in the NFL. But it's a guy that if you draft him, you start him at nickel, you bump him outside to outside corner, and then when he starts slowing down a little, you move him to safety and play him for the next 5 or 6 years at safety. This guy could have the same exact career path as Rod Woodson did, and I am so excited about a guy like that. I would love to have him as a Steeler. I can't imagine it's possibly going to happen, but a man can dream, right?
A man can dream. Well, with that being said, that sums up like kind of the pre-show notes and all the stuff that's happened this week. We are going to go into my first mock draft, and James, I'm going to start it off right away. Pick number 20 in the first round, Cooper DeJean.
What?
I'm just playing.
I cracked it for nothing.
No, I'm playing about playing. It actually was Cooper DeJean. But I want to talk about the pick here a little bit. So Amarius Mims went 16th. Mims was off the board. Didn't have that option. J.C. Latham, one of the top offensive tackles available, was still there. Byron Murphy, defensive tackle from Texas, was still there. Nate Wiggins, another cornerback that a lot of mock drafts and analysts are saying Pittsburgh might draft in the first round. Nate Wiggins was available. Also, Jackson Powers was still available, the center. All that have been targeted or talked about with Pittsburgh, and I chose to go Cooper DeJean this route. Again, like you said, starting day one cornerback in the nickel formation and then taking over somewhere through the mid-first season opposite Joey Porter Jr. We still don't know what we have with Corey Trice Jr. A lot of things going in that cornerback room, but all those things... all those guys available, I still chose to go Cooper DeJean. I don't think I have to talk about him more. You've talked about him enough on the show for the last year and a half that people just know. Totally.
For those of you who don't realize, this time I'm hearing Cody's mock. So I did not know he was going to go Cooper, but he did know how much I love the guy. That's fair. Obviously, I think it would be a home run pick if Pittsburgh were to take Cooper DeJean in the first round. So I very clearly love that selection. You stayed right at pick number 20 for that, right?
I did. No trades in this. Maybe next week when we're going to do one more draft with both of us, we're going to kind of do it live on the show and discuss it. Maybe then we'll option to do trades if they seem realistic, but not overly concerned about that right now. I kept all the same draft picks that Pittsburgh has. So with that being said, we dropped down to the second round and pick number 51. And at 51, Jackson Powers went at 27, Frazier went at 33. So the top two, centers are gone. Offensive tackle, offensive guard, center, the whole board seems swept as far as top talent, by this pick. And then I also had, I wrote something I can't read. Hang on.
as long as it's not the pick, it's not that bad of a thing.
I don't know what I wrote. Oh, I was writing the person I drafted. I drafted a defensive tackle that was brought to our attention on a joint show with some friends of ours, and the defensive tackle from Clemson by the name of Rook Arora. And Rook is defensive tackle out of Clemson. He's actually from Lagos, Nigeria, which is hilarious because I just watched the one Avengers movie or Captain America movie, and it takes place there. The beginning of it does. So that was very interesting. He's 6'4", 294 pounds, 34-inch long arms, ran a 4.8940. I know, long arms, man, long arms. 4.8940, 32 on the vert, 9.8 on the broad, and 29 reps on the bench. This is a guy who could come in and be the next Cam Hayward, be the next Stephon Tuitt. Obviously, we don't have Stephon Tuitt anymore. But this is a guy that could come in and play the defensive line, maybe move outside, play inside. He's more of your I feel like he has the athleticism to move outside, but he has the size of an inside guy. Maybe a little light on the weight-wise, but at 6'4", he's a huge body, and I just feel like he's a mauler. He's a guy that would come in and be able to be added into rotation day one and make an immediate impact. He's not going to be like the backup, you know, outside linebackers that we've had in years past that get one or two sacks. No, he would probably get 5 sacks year one just from being on the field and being with TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, all these other guys that would take some double teams and some pressure off of him. So that was my number 51 overall pick. Moving on to the third round, number 84.
Before you go to that, I just want to chime in on Ruth real quick. I know I did so in our super show when we had our two guests, and I believe it was Noah that selected Rook in the second round as well.
Yep.
So if you saw that show, you're already aware that I'm a big fan of Rook. There's a list of like 5 to 10 guys that I'm really excited about and hoping that these guys, any one of them, even just one of them, ends up a Pittsburgh Steeler. Rook is very much so on that list. The athleticism in a guy that big, the size, the length, everything that you look for. He checks every box for a 3-4 defensive end. And in Pittsburgh's scheme, that 3-4 base defensive end kicks inside as a nickel guy. And I think day one, you're immediately jumping him in front of what you've got opposite Cam Hayward there, because I don't think Larry Ogunjobi's been very good as a Pittsburgh Steeler.
No.
And I think Rook would put him to shame, honestly. And the thought of having a future front four of Alex Highsmith, TJ Watt, Keanu Benton, and Rook Ahorow. Oh, man. You're going to get after the quarterback really nicely with that foursome. So I'm excited about that as that front four in a nickel or dime situation.
Yeah. And the next guy, so at 84, let's talk about this real quick. Cedric Gray, the linebacker from North Carolina, was still there. Not highly sought after in most drafts that I've seen, but I think he's a underrated player to potentially be available third round.
I think he's been in for a visit too.
Okay. I didn't know that. That's awesome. Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver from Florida, still available. Jeremiah Trotter went at 79. I'm here at 84. And Roman Wilson went at 78, another potential wide receiver option. When you talk about bringing someone in to go 1 and 2 with George Pickens. But I decided to look offensive line. I had to do it. I didn't get to do it in the first two rounds. I thought if I wasn't going to do it now, it just wasn't going to be done in this entire draft. At least not any quality talent. So a guy interested me. I did some research on him now. I didn't know much about him before. Karan Amigadiji. I don't know how to pronounce it. Karan Amigadiji. We'll go with that. He's from Yale. He is a offensive tackle. Like I said, 6'5", 323 pounds, 36 1/8 inch long arms. This guy is a mauler, is a beast. I don't have any combine results or anything like that, unfortunately. But just a large specimen, large body. He didn't play in 2020 due to COVID and stuff happening like that. In the last 2 years, he was first team all Ivy League. He started all 10 games in 2022, and he missed the end of this season due to a quad injury. More than likely, potentially why he doesn't have any stats or anything
That's exactly why I am.
But big guy, big arms. I like the size. In my opinion, this is lump of clay. This is lump of clay and do something with it.
Yeah, and this is possibly somebody who might be able to plug and play at right tackle, which is the key here, right? We're looking for an upgrade over Dan Moore at the left tackle position. Yep. We would prefer that to be Broderick Jones going back to his natural home. I believe with a selection like Kieran, who's a big upside guy because of the size and wingspan that you're talking about, could possibly start for you at the right side and allow Broderick to go back home at left tackle and push Dan Moore back to the bench, which is a much better solution for him than where he is currently in the starting lineup, protecting the blind side of a right-handed quarterback.
Yeah, makes it interesting for sure. I don't have as many notes as we get to the next later rounds because they're just so much and it's just kind of picking and choosing where we go. Pick 98. We went cornerback. I really wanted to shore up that secondary. I saw a safety from Georgia that interested me. So I decided to go with this guy, Javon Ballard, safety from Georgia. I had his numbers here. I think I accidentally just closed them. And here's the reason I went him. He's more athletic than I think we've seen in a safety for a while. He ran a 4.47. He also didn't perform anything else at the combine. But however, 5'10 and a half, 198 pounds, 30 3/4 inch long arms. He's just kind of a very fast guy that I think can come in and alternate or rival. I shouldn't say alternate. Rival Minka Fitzpatrick very well. And allow, and again, another guy that'll allow Minka to play his natural position. This is a guy that can come down, maybe not be a massive heavy hitter. I don't see a Ryan Clark out of him, but maybe can give us the freedom and comfort when it comes to covering, you know, running backs or the tight ends. This guy's fast enough to keep up with some of these more athletic freak tight ends that we have. When you think of George Kittle, or even the guy coming out of this draft who people are all about, Brock something.
Yeah, Brock Bowers, the Georgia kid.
Yeah, Brock Bowers. This is just a guy that I think would really help us in being more comfortable against those mismatches and stuff like that. Again, also kind of lump of clay. A couple of these guys near the end of the draft are just lump of clay guys that I drafted. So I don't know if you know much about him or want to speak to him.
A little bit, yeah. I think that's a good move because you're safety to put back there with Micah Fitzpatrick. Deshaun Elliott most likely going to be the new starter back there with Minka.
Yep.
And he's not the most athletic dude in the world, right? He was like a 4.58 40 guy or something like that when he came out. And he's been in the league for a few years now, so he's not as fast as he was when he came out. So this gives you a faster dude for those longer downs when it's third and long or fourth and long kind of passing situations. I like the idea, especially when you start thinking about where Pittsburgh wants to be as an organization, is somebody who's making a deep run in the playoffs on a regular basis. If you're going to do so, you're going to need to take on these teams. All the top teams in the AFC have really good pass catching tight ends, whether it's Dalton Kincaid with the Bills, or whether you're talking about Travis Kelce with your Kansas City Chiefs,
Mark even Andrews with the Ravens. Rivals.
What's that?
Mark Andrews.
Our division rivals. Absolutely, Mark Andrews. David Njoku with the Browns had a career year last year. He's looking like he might be up and coming to one of the top tight ends in the NFL these days now. You got to have somebody that can hang with these people. And the height is a little bit of an issue there. The athleticism is not. Yep. So it gives you a fighting chance when a guy can keep up with them step for step, because then that throw needs to be perfect. And Njoku ain't getting a perfect pass out of Watson, I'll tell you that right now.
No, not with the pressure we're providing either, especially with Root coming at him, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, at pick 119, I decided to go offensive talent again. I decided to go offensive skill room, went wide receiver, went back to a school where we drafted a wide receiver from in the past. fan favorite Juju Smith-Schuster was from USC. So I went back to USC and picked up Brendan Rice. Brendan Rice, USC, 6'2", 208 pounds, ran a 4.5 40, 36 and a half vert, a 9.11 broad, and 13 reps on the bench. 13 reps on the bench with 33-inch long arms at a wide receiver position at 208 pounds is very, very good. I love to see that. I think he's going to be physical in the blocking game like we need him to be, and then also skillful enough to just kind of manhandle smaller corners. I mean, he's 6'2", most corners in the league, 6 foot, maybe shorter most. There's some big ones out there, obviously. But with his skill set and with his size, I think there's a chance that he just outmans them for jump balls and stuff like that, and can really give us another nice target down the middle of the field or down the sideline.
Yeah, and I think this is a good scheme fit for what Pittsburgh appears to be going directionally wise. You want those big wide receivers who can at least wall off the corner they're going against. And then obviously the big thing with a selection like this is the bloodlines, right? When your dad's the greatest wide receiver in NFL history in Jerry Rice, you've got a chance of becoming a good receiver yourself. Jerry was not the guy that put up the 4.440. He was not the blazing fast dude, but he was incredible as a route runner and knew every trick to the book. Most reliable hands in the history of the game. So you look at it and you say, hey, Brendan, I think is even a little bigger than what his dad was. I think his dad was quite that tall.
I think he was 6 foot even, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so as well. So I think if you're taking a shot when you're getting fourth round or later, bloodlines are a big thing for Pittsburgh. Big thing, man. So you should never be surprised if Pittsburgh drafts a kid who has a older brother or a father or an uncle or anyone like that that's been in the NFL before. They do it all the time. They're very clear about their intentions and why they do so, because of the fact that this person already knows what it takes, what kind of work they have to put in, what kind of sacrifice they need to make in the kitchen and in their personal lives. Yeah,
and they've been in the buildings. They've been around the people, the teamwork, the atmosphere, the chemistry. They've been around the game enough, which I don't think people understand that enough, how there's like a mentality of being in an NFL room, whether it's a meeting room, a locker room, a weight room, a training room. Like, there's a atmosphere there. So, yeah. That was my pick at 119. 178. James, I went weird here.
Woo. First pick in the sixth round. That's like the second pick, I think, overall in the sixth round.
There. Yeah, I think so. Went quarterback. Went Tennessee. Joe Milton the III. Not going to waste any time. Joe was there. Large arm. He's 6'5", 235 pounds. Athletic. Kind of comes in and is able. And here's the key here, in my opinion. He fits the kind of archetype that we're now going with in the quarterback room. I don't think you bring in an absolute pocket passer now that we have Russell and Justin Fields in the room. I don't think you do that. It's not going to benefit them. I think you bring in a guy that's able to be mobile, able to scramble out of the pocket, able to extend the play. Joe Milton is that guy. Didn't run the 40 at the combine. I don't know if he did his pro day or not. But again, this is a guy that I think is just coming in to fill the locker room. He'd be the fourth quarterback, you know, in the room and be fighting for a roster spot as the number three. So
as far as physical gifts, you're not going to find a quarterback in this draft class, in my opinion, with greater physical gifts than Joe Milton. He needs some coaching. He needs to get better at being able to read a defense, being more accurate with his placement. You don't expect somebody in the sixth round to have that all perfect. That's not happening. But what you're looking at is a guy that's physically very similar size to what Cam Newton was when he came out. Just big, strong, highly athletic, absolute rocket ship on his arm for a throwing arm, man. At the combine, you had all the quarterbacks thrown to the wide receivers for the wide receiver drills, right? Near the end of it, these guys decided to let the wide receivers run a little long so they could show off their arm strength. Joe Milton had a stronger arm than all of them, and it wasn't very close. Without really stepping into it, he was bombing at 75 yards. Like, just a lot of NFL quarterbacks, I would say most NFL quarterbacks, cannot throw the ball 70 yards, let alone 75. So we need absolute cannon on that shoulder for him.
Yeah, what we need. And then for the last pick of this mock draft at pick 195, our second pick in the sixth round, I decided to go Lump of Clay. I went offensive guard, a guy out of North Carolina State. Guy by the name, he's listed as a center. He's an interior offensive lineman. I think he can play center or guard. But named Dylan McMahon. Dylan is 6'3", 299 pounds, a little bit short on the arms, 31 3/4 inch long arms. Not something that normally works out very well when we do this, but I decided to give it a go. He ran a 5'1 40-yard dash, 5'1 even.
It's not bad.
No, not bad at all. 33 on the vert, 9'7 on the broad. Did not bench, unfortunately. So
That's not good.
Nope. I'm assuming he probably, you know, lost weight to run a good 40, put on a little bit more strength afterwards. I'm not sure if he did anything at his pro day or not, but I can find out. But this is a guy that, again, just to kind of lump a clay, bringing him in to see what he can do. I'm looking for no bench press.
No bench press. That happens.
I lied. 25 at the pro day.
25? That's not bad. That's decent, man. That's like requisite strength, what you're looking for those like minimum thresholds for an offensive lineman. So that's not bad at all. So, I mean, that's at least your shot at trying to do something at the center position. I was wondering if we were going to see a center.
Had to do something. On in the draft. Had to do something.
It's funny how these play out, because you find yourself in a situation where you kind of have to sacrifice a position that you want to get a starter at.
Yep.
For me, it ended up offensive tackle. For you, it ended up center.
Yep. Yeah, so very interesting. I mean, again, just to go through this real quick, Cooper DeJean, number one overall for Pittsburgh. Rook Aurora. Kyron, I don't remember how to pronounce his name. Kieran.
I think it's Kyron.
Kyron yeah. Amagadaji. Javon Bullard, the safety from Georgia. Brendan Rice, wide receiver from USC. Joe Milton, the third, quarterback from Tennessee. And Dylan McMahon from...
Probably McMahon. That's usually pronounced that way.
Really? Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I like it, Cody. I think you hit a lot of really nice picks. Your first two, if those play out that way, I'm jumping up and down. I think if they play out that way, a lot of Steelers fans are going to say, where the hell's our offensive line guy? But you don't get to dictate how the draft plays out to you, right? All you can do is just make selections based off of best available talent. You can go ahead and take that seventh best offensive tackle in the first round instead of the third best corner if you want to. But the third best corner could be a guy that you could have on the team for 15 years and have the last six or seven of them at the safety position and could end up with eight or nine Pro Bowls over his career. Or you could end up with an offensive tackle that's a huge question mark and just an athletic freak and you're hoping he works out, but you don't know that for sure.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think I'm obviously a huge fan of those first two picks, and then you hit a lot of needs as the draft went along. So yep. I'm going to be interested if we do this, because we're going to do one for you guys next week, like we said. We might even try to have one done already and then do a lot. So we can kind of – we'll just whip through the one that we did previously together.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in trade-back scenarios to try to acquire additional talent. Yep. To see if we can hit more of those positions that we really need in higher
rounds. Yeah, because a couple of the trade options I had, even in this one, because it brings them up automatically, whereas moving back four picks but getting like two more, like it was very intriguing to see.
Yeah, and a lot of times they throw like picks in future rounds at you, which doesn't help you when you're trying to for this year.
Yeah.
Could be something in a real scenario you like, but...
Yeah. So we'll be doing that next week. Be on the lookout for that episode. And we can't thank you guys enough for listening or watching. If you're on YouTube, again, make sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.